is Andy Butcher. I'm the editor of Christian Retailing Magazine, and welcome to our December editorial podcast, where you get to listen in for a few minutes as the Christian Retailing editorial team meets and kicks around some of the things that we're going to be thinking and writing about in the month of December. I've got with me the rest of the team here, and I'm going to be asking them something they're particularly going to be looking forward to in the coming weeks.
I'm Christine Johnson, commonly known as Chris. I'm the managing editor here, and I'm going to be talking about an Amish book coming out.
I'm Eric Tianse, news editor, and I'm interested and curious to see how the Love Comes Softly full DVD complete set comes out and how that's going to do in the Christian retail market.
I'm Dwayne Hamby, assistant editor. I cover the books industry, and I am going to talk about a marriage book a little bit.
I'm Felicia Mann, the online editor, and I'm going to be talking about the voiceless victims of the world right now, and it's not about abortion.
Great. Well, we've got all that to look forward to in the next few minutes. But first, let's start with news. Obviously, the big news of the past few weeks has been the resignation of Bill Anderson as the president CEO of CBA. And Eric, what do we know since the news of his resignation? Have we heard much more? What's happening?
Not much more news from CBA or Bill, but I did contact several Christian retailers, and their reaction and comments have been mostly surprise and a few shocks as far as him leaving. There's uncertainty as far as, you know, what they think is going to happen with CBA, and they're concerned about his replacement. So I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I think when we talked to suppliers last month, several of them at least expected him to be leaving, but the retailers were a little bit different as far as their thoughts.
We're obviously hoping to find out some more about the actual process of the replacement, I think particularly because the industry is in such a time of flux, and this change after such a long time, is such a surprise to people. CBA members and others who are invested are really going to want to know a little bit more about the whole process and what happens, rather than just suddenly being given, oh, here's a name, here's the next new person. So hopefully we're going to be hearing some more from the folks on the board at CBA and others as you know, they continue this this search process. The other big news of the month that we're still trying to kind of make sense of and grasp the implications comes from my homeland, the UK, where we got the surprise news that IBS STL were putting their whole of their Christian retailing enterprise up for sale. Now, there are three divisions. Is that right, Eric?
I believe so. There's the Wesley Owen chain, and then they have the two other, which escapes me right now, but I think all of them is basically on the table.
Right, I think there's the distributor side as well, correct? And then they have a publishing operation, don't they? And as we say, we really don't know much more at this stage, but the implications are quite significant for you. I mean, they were the single biggest player in the industry over there. And indeed, we've just heard in the last few days that there are some moves from others within the industry to get some kind of an industry-wide conference powwow early in the new year to see, A, is there anything that can be done to save the operations the way they are, and B, what it does mean long-term. For instance, we understand that some of the suppliers over there, they use IBS STL as their sole distributor. So there'll be implications for some of the other Christian stores. Do we have any sense of how that fits into the bigger picture of IBS STL worldwide? I mean, it's a huge operation, isn't it?
Right. I don't think we know it completely. We haven't connected the dots. You know, being a kind of an international story, I think us here in America are kind of, you know, seeing it as them versus us, but, you know, we need to dig more as far as what that means as far as the patients.
One of the interesting side issues that's come out is a renewed discussion over in the UK about the place and significance of Christian retail, with people kind of waking up and realizing, gosh, we may be losing many of our major stores, I've come across some blogs and some discussion between church leaders saying, we need to think again about how seriously are we concerned about Christian bookstores. And one church leader was suggesting that churches need to embrace the idea of Christian bookstores as an evangelistic outreach, because they are out in the community where the people are. You know, they're in the high street, as they call it in the UK, you know, Main Street, USA. They're in the malls. They're the places where people go for their leisure and their recreational time, when people don't go to church for leisure and recreation. So maybe there's a place there for churches to invest in some way in Christian retail. So I think that's going to be interesting to see if that debate not only gets picked up over there, but also over here in the US, where, as we all know, we're continuing to see shrinking within the Christian retail market, changing and so on. So there are wider implications even beyond just the number of stores.
Is there any place for the church bookstore in England?
Well, there hasn't been historically. As you know, the UK being so much smaller geographically, population-wise, and within the Christian community, so small. A mega church in England is 300 people. It's 300 people. I exaggerate. I mean, there are some bigger, but they tend to be very small. So those kind of operations have really literally been a book table. I mean, that's pretty much all you got. There's probably possibly a handful of churches that will operate something of a more significant retail operation, such as we know over here. But that certainly hasn't been the case historically. We've also been looking, haven't we, at the Christmas season. We all know it's crucial, indeed, for some stores, maybe, you know, make or break. What are we hearing, folks, from either suppliers telling us what they're hearing from stores or from stores direct? What are we hearing about this Christmas season?
Well, we're hearing from Crossway as far as their share the good news. They are very upbeat. They said that it's doing more than they expected, and so that's a positive for suppliers. And also, I've been contacting some retailers, and I actually talked to one in the Heartland who says that their sales this year is almost 20% up compared to last year, and they expect it to continue over the Christmas season.
Well, that's an encouraging trend. Hopefully we'll hear some more of that. We'll obviously be working on a roundup after the holiday season to let people know how it has gone. Eric, let's stick with you, because we need to come back and commend you for a podcast last time. We were talking about the next movie from the Fireproof people, and you posited that it might be an F because we'd had Flywheel and Facing the Giants. You were half right, right? Tell us what the news is about the next movie.
Well, it's not an F title for their next movie. It's actually going to be called Courageous, but the theme is an F. It's fatherhood. I was hoping they would maybe change it to Fatherhood, Courage, or something, but they didn't do that. But they announced it during a service earlier, or last month now, since we're almost in December here, and they're going to have the filming in 2010, and I believe they're expected to release it in 2011. So far, there's no cast or anything announced as far as who's going to be in it. And even the budget, they haven't really revealed, but they expect it to be larger than the Fireproof budget.
I'd heard something like $2.5 million at one point. I don't know if that's being thrown around still,
right,
or not.
Well, I think he had mentioned that during the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in February, but they didn't say that during the Sunday service at Sherwood Baptist.
Obviously, big news, and I mean, we know from talking to stores through this past year that some almost credited Fireproofs and its, you know, the tie-in book, The Love Dare, but almost single-handedly with keeping them in business this past year. So obviously, we can understand there's great excitement about a new project, but it makes me a little bit nervous at the same time that there's so much anticipation and hope from a retail perspective centered on one project that we're not even going to see for 18 months.
Right.
That's true, because there's other quote-unquote Christian filmmakers out there doing for theatrical release and DVDs, and maybe a retailer should look to them as far as, you know, a source for, you know, big hits in their stores.
Right. The DVD category is a potential growth area for sure.
Right.
And then there is a book that's going to come later on with Courageous. After the movie gets made, of course. So maybe it will have the same success as Love Dare.
Right.
Well, there's actually the Love Dare Day by Day that comes out 1st of December, which is the follow-up to the Love Dare. It's a daily devotional type thing. And I'm sure B&H has a lot of, you know, has a lot of hopes riding on it as well.
Right, right. Chris, of this last month, what can you tell us in terms of the bestsellers? You've been keeping an eye on the list there.
Yes, well, Francis Chan is doing very well, and so is Max Lucado. They're both at the top of the list with Crazy Love and Fearless. And it just looks like some of the same titles that we've been looking at in the last, or in the top 10 of the CBA and ECPA list. No real big surprises there, but it's interesting to see that Max Lucado has two fear-themed titles there. One of them, Imagine Your Life Without Fear, and one of them, Fearless. And I see also that same kind of Different as Me, which is an older book, is here in the softcover version. So that's doing very well.
Right. In fact, you mentioned that title, The Same Kind as Different. That's actually spawned a DVD small group curriculum, coming back to what Eric was saying about movies and DVDs, that's going to be coming out, I think, in January, I believe.
And a big screen movie. Samuel L. Jackson has been tapped for the big screen adaptation of that movie.
Did you know who's that coming from?
I'm not sure. Right.
Okay. And do we know, do we have an idea of when that might be released in theaters?
No, I'd have to check on that.
Okay, let's look ahead then to the coming month in terms of the big new releases for December. What are we looking at? We have this month, obviously, Christmas coming up. What are some of the big titles that are coming out?
Well, in December, it seems like a lot of people are putting their stuff in November. So November is a huge month. For me, my speculation is if we can get it out before Black Friday, we're going to do that, if at all possible. The one exception, the big exception, which we spotlight in our new issue, is Love and War by John and Stacey Eldridge, which is their first title with Doubleday, Doubleday Religion. And they had been with Thomas Nelson for a long time. I did a podcast with them recently, and it's actually online. It's very interesting. It's a marriage book. Talk a little bit more about it in a little while. As far as new releases in music, there are a few, but it's like it, you know, dwindles down to near nothing in the month of December. Although Andy Stanley's church, North Point, has some North Point Live CDs coming out, the worship of that. And then also John Rubin, we have a release from John Rubin on December 22nd. Same day, Charles Billingsley. And then on December 15th, we have something from Seabird, their new band, but they have had some music kind of featured in Grey's Anatomy as well. Also in Grey's Anatomy, there's a group called Tal and Acacia. I think that's the name. Anyway, they're on Essential. They come out in January, but we actually will feature a Q&A with them in our January issue. And pretty much in December, those are the high points.
As you say, the November is a key time for kind of the pre-Christmas releases, but we should just note, and we've just heard this within the last day or so, huge debut by Casting Crowns. I mean, everybody
right.
was highly anticipated, obviously, but what do we know? A record? What are the details? Do you remember?
It's number 4 on the top 200 Billboard charts, and that is secular, you know, the whole gamut. It debuted number 4. It's their highest release. Was it the highest release for a Christian
highest project? Ranking, I believe that's right. Yeah.
And interesting to know that most of their, you know, Casting Crowns is, as I mentioned in the podcast last month, a Christian retail, you know, poster group for Christian retail. That's where most of their sales come from.
Right.
They're not, you know, the average person in a Best Buy would not know who they are, but in Christian bookstores, heavy promotion. Another interesting thing is that perhaps not even all Christian bookstores report to SoundScan, and so their sales could actually be bigger than what it reflects, even though it's quite an impressive release. So,
well, Casting Crowns has 3 albums right now in the top 10 of SoundScan.
Yeah.
One of them being the Christmas one.
And they'll probably end 2009 with three albums in the Christian top 10 soundscan.
I believe the news release that they sent out either today or recently was 169,000 copies sold in the first week of this latest one.
That's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, I did also see news that the biggest selling debut in the UK has turned out to be Susan Boyle.
That's right.
Who we referred to last time, whose album is going to be available through Christian retail stores, because it has at least a couple of hymns on it, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
It's coming from Integrity. They're so, you know, they have ties with Sony Classical, and previously they Integrity and Sony Classical released years ago that Kristen Chenoweth hymn CD. So every once in a while, I think it's probably one of these things of, is this a fit for the market? If it is, then we're going to do it, you know. And it's probable when she enters the Christian market, you know, even kind of back door or whatever, she'll definitely wind up on the top of the top 10 Christian SoundScan for the year.
Right. Obviously, people are focused on Christmas, but we're already looking ahead to January, too, in our January issue. And just want to tease a couple of things that we'll be looking at there in terms of news. Internationally, we're going to be writing about the campaign that's been going on in Australia with regards to raising awareness of developing world manufacture of Christian gifts and products. This was a story that arose a couple of years ago originally and has now kind of resurfaced here, and there have been some efforts by campaign groups and so on bringing some pressure to bear on Christian retailers and stores, so we'll be writing about that. Eric, what are a couple of other projects we might be working on for January?
Well, we're working on trying to find out the latest with the SPCK, which is the chain of stores in the UK, and it made a lot of news this past year as far as whether it's going to go belly up or it's going to be acquired. So we're trying to track that down as far as that happens. And also we're looking into following up the Frankfurt Book Fair with ECPA and their cooperative extension, as far as, you know, how that's going, you know, in light of the economy, whether more Christian publishers are joining in or opting out.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are just a few of the stories that we're looking at.
We have a couple of new initiatives that we're going to be introducing to in January related to particularly, you know, retailers and some product news and so on. Chris, can you talk us through the new Christian product briefing section we're going to be introducing?
We are going to have a new section, a new look for our magazine, and we are inviting publicists to submit their product information online. It's a very simple process, and they're going to be able to do this on an ongoing basis for online listing. And then we're going to be pulling from there, for the most part, for our print magazine, so we won't miss anything in the industry. And there's, you know, all sorts of categories: Catholic, Spanish, children's, books, Bibles, music, gifts, everything. That publicists can submit to us all the key information. And then we're going to have category key articles where we call on people in the industry who know a particular product category to give retailers some ideas in that area, and some artist Q&As, maybe some author Q&As, just to add a little human interest, I guess.
So the idea, hopefully, to give retailers just real essential product information and keys to help them know the product better so they can sell it better and inform their consumers better. We all know, don't we, that it comes down to the, you know, retail experience, customer service. That's the standout for Christian stores. The better they know their product, the better they can advise and recommend it to people. And then on the digital front, Felicia, what can you tell us about what's going to be happening in January there?
Well, in January, we are excited to be introducing our new sort of digital issue, where we're going to pack out our digital issue with more content. We're going to have, sometimes we're going to even have audio and video snippets of the albums that we're reviewing, or sample chapters and things like that, just to really give the retailers a well-rounded viewpoint of the stories that we're covering. We're also going to even have podcasts in there so that you guys can hear more about the stories that you're interested in.
I mean, in case anybody's been asleep for the last couple of years or missed it, I mean, the digital issue we're talking about, this is the whole of the print magazine just available online, right?
Well, it is. It's the print magazine in a digital format where it's easily accessible with links that you can go directly to certain products that you're interested in. It's very, very user-friendly. And what we're trying to do is to make it even more impactful for the readers so that they can get as much information as we possibly can give them.
Great. Thank you. Well, last podcast I asked folks, you know, we get so much material, new products and resources coming over our desk every day, to kind of winnow through the pile there and just come up with maybe an item or so that particularly caught their interest for whatever reason. And I don't know if these would actually feature on your personal Christmas list this year, but what have you brought this month, Chris?
Well, there's a very interesting product coming out that would actually maybe make a good stocking stuffer. It's called Band Angels, and these are essentially healing scripture Band-Aids. And there's three different scriptures on them, such as the Isaiah 53 passage about by his stripes we are healed. So that's one particular scripture that's on the verse. There's these cute little angels on them. So that's from New Day Christian Distributors. And people might want to check that out. Now, there's another one coming up that's very kind of high class. The it's actually a January release, but we're letting people know about it early. Pumpernickel Press has announced that it has a Willow Tree card license, so it now has these beautifully embossed greeting cards and notes that are available. So look for those to come to retail.
And Willow Tree has been hugely popular at Christian retail, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. All the figurines, and they're always showing up on our bestseller lists.
Mm-hmm. Eric?
Well, this might come as a surprise, but what I found interesting is that the Love Come Softly DVD set. It's kind of a novel, of course, based on Janet Oakey's Bethany House bestsellers. It's been running on the Hallmark channel since 2003, and I believe this month Word Distribution is releasing the whole set that's actually 8 movies. Now, I can't say that I've watched a full one, but my mother-in-law will have seen all of them, and she loves them, and I don't know if I should say that I'm going to get it for her, but she loves the Love Come Softly movies, and it always comes up on the SoundScan bestseller list. According to Hallmark, they've sold 3.5 million copies of the DVDs. And I'm sure that's all the markets, not just Christian retail.
Right. And obviously the books themselves have been huge perennial bestsellers as well. Yeah, wow.
I can say that I have seen Love Come Softly. I enjoyed it. I showed it to my mother, and I left the DVD at her house, and she enjoyed it. Even my nephew, who is into, you know, Transformers, the whole nine yards, he liked it. It's, you know, it's like a Little House on the Prairie type romance. Katherine Heigl, most people don't know that, but she starred in the original. She's from Grey's Anatomy anyway. So, yeah, I've seen it. I gave my mom an autographed copy of it. So, not autographed by me, of course.
You know, now, if you were to have a Love Come Softly marathon viewing, it would run longer than even the Lord of the Rings set back to back, wouldn't it? I mean, eight. My goodness. That's going to be quite a pack, yeah. What else do
anyone who likes something like Anne of Green Gables, which I do, I also very much enjoy the Love Come Softly. Mm-hmm. So, there's a little plug.
two thumbs up, right?
There you go. Dwayne, what's on your list?
I have been looking at, I had a great conversation with John and Stacey Eldridge over the Love and War book, the marriage book that they have. In the interview, they told me, you know, this is not a book about programs. This is not a book about, you know, these are the steps to a successful marriage, but it's experiences, it's conversations. And if you look in that book, you'll see what they mean. It actually is a very easy read, very personable book. They are engaging. They tell stories of, that they have seen with their friends. They share personal things. But it's not, you know, I've read a few marriage books. I admit that I'm not I don't just soak up every marriage book that's out there because I've been single for most of my life. But it stands out to me as more of a, you know, let's help you, but it's not, it seems a little more personal. It's not like somebody standing in front of you in a class giving you pointers on a marriage. It's more like a small group type setting when you're reading the book. And I think it's, you know, I think it's great.
It's going to be interesting to see if there's a lot of crossover into the general market,
right.
Because they've been, obviously they've sold widely, but they're mostly probably well-known within the Christian community, aren't they?
And they talk about that in the podcast, because I asked them, you know, with Doubleday, is this a new opportunity for you to cross into general market? John says, and again, another plug for our podcast, it's on our website, it's really good. He said that... you know, a marriage book is very appealing to the average reader. They don't necessarily have to be a Christian to look at that and say, you know, I could use some help in my marriage. But obviously the book, when you look at it, it even has a an invitation, sinner's prayer, in the back of the book. So it's very evangelistic, but it's not, it offers help with marriage first and then, you know, presents the gospel to the reader.
Well, something that I'm interested in this month is a book called Forgotten Girls, which is the follow-up to Daughters of Hope. And since trafficking has been so well covered lately, I think it's just interesting to retailers. I'm thinking that people would be very interested in finding more information about trafficking and what's really going on with so many young ladies across the world. It's not just a Christian issue, but the book does highlight stories of Christians and in persecuted areas and just some non-Christians who are really, really being in poverty and oppressed and things like that across the world. And so I'm excited about it also because it also gives practical tips to people who can, you know, just do something about it. You know, we read a lot about it, we hear about it, but the book delves into what can be done by the average person to help stop this issue that we all know is prevalent throughout the world.
Thank you. Well, mine is, my choice is a little light affair. It's actually a young adult title. It's the latest in the Dreamhouse King series from Robert Leporello, the best known for his, you know, adult thrillers and mysteries and so on. I stumbled across this series last Christmas, actually. I just brought a couple of the titles home over the vacation time and just really enjoyed them. This family gets caught up in this mysterious house where they find these time portals that take them in and out of different parts of history, and there's some spiritual themes that run through there. They're very engaging. Proved very popular, apparently, within in the public schools as well. So, you know, surprising within the kind of reading clubs and so on. In fact, I was just looking at Robert's website, and they've just he had a deal with Scholastic, and he's actually just finished a marathon signing session. He's just signed 30,000 copies. Wow. Of these books that are going into some kind of special promotion somewhere. So he may not have writer's block, but he's certainly got writer's cramp right now. But so that's a whirlwind. It's the fifth title coming out later this month, so I'm hoping I'm going to find that in my my stocking maybe come Christmas morning.
I didn't actually mention the Amish book that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And that's called An Amish Gathering. It's from Thomas Nelson. There's three novellas from on Amish themes from three different authors. And the interesting thing is it includes Kirk Cameron's mother, Barbara. She's written a nonfiction about their family before, but as far as I know, she's never written any fiction. So she's chosen Amish fiction. So it's called An Amish Gathering.
Amish Gathering. Thank you. Well, we thank you all for joining us again. And as Christmas approaches, we wish you all a peaceful, prosperous Christmas. Hope you'll join us in January for our next editorial podcast. And thanks again for listening. From now, from all of us, best wishes for the coming year.